Well, I'm looking forward to preaching for the first time this year on Sunday. I was interrupted last Sunday with a flu bug that just worked me over and woke me up around a little bit before midnight or right around midnight and kept me awake all morning long. And appreciate Brother Don stepping in. I called another pastor friend of mine, and he was already booked. I didn't call him. I texted him about 5 in the morning, and usually older guys are up by that time, all right? And he says, I'm already booked, Brother Heimer. And so I called or texted Brother Don, and Don was up, so I had Brother Don do it. So I want you to... Were you?
Yeah.
So understand that Brother Don had that much time to get ready for last Sunday. And so what I thought was kind of interesting, did he do all right, everybody? Okay, good. So you can see he didn't have a lot of study time. So we're going to start practicing that with each one of our men. I'll just text you, you know, about 5:30 in the morning. And so what you're going to be hearing today is last week's message, all right? And so we wanted to go into this year with a new theme. I try to have a new focus, a new theme for each year. So I'm a week behind schedule, but on God's timetable. And our theme this year is higher ground. We sing the great hymn, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. And higher ground is a calling to elevated faith. When we talk about our faith being elevated, we're going up to a new level. As a matter of fact, the word elevate means to raise above the norm. How many of you would like your faith this year to be higher than it was last year? Say amen. Now, it's interesting because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So that means you need to elevate your Bible reading, your Bible study, so that you can elevate your faith, so that you can walk in a greater capacity for the glory of God. So we don't know what this year is going to bring forth, but may we have the faith to trust and rest and have peace in spite of what's happening around us. Because remember, when Jesus was in the storm with the disciples, he was in the ship, he rose up and he rebuked the storm and it brought peace. And that might be what happens to some of us this year. We might be in a storm and Jesus is there and he rebukes the storm. Others, they were in a boat one time and Jesus wasn't with them. They were in a storm and Jesus invited them out into the storm and told them to be at peace and let the storm rage for a while. And so we don't know what God has for us. I'm excited about the new year. I'm excited about what's out there that we don't know yet. That's going to be another page in our life that we didn't even realize that God was going to involve us with. And so we're talking about elevated faith. And I made mention of this area of reading here that we read for the opening of our scripture. And I'm going to go ahead and read it again if you want to turn to 1 John 5. That way you can see it yourself and hear at the same time what the Lord is saying to you and I this morning through this message here. By the way, I just want to say I'm glad you're here. We have some people that aren't here because of what we would call legitimate reasons. If you have chicken pox, and chicken pox are easy to pass on, don't bring them. We're not interested. We have our own issues. We don't need to worry about chicken pox, all right? So we have people with sicknesses that can't make it, and we understand that. We have people that have situations with surgeries going on. We understand those things. But let me encourage you to go to higher ground. You have to go more than what you have to be, rise above normal of what you were last year. That means, and I thought of Hebrews chapter 10, and it's one of the favorite verses that preachers like anyway, amen? But Hebrews 10:25 says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together. And then he says, as the manner of some is. So the writer of Hebrews is encouraging the believers that make up the church, don't leave off church attendance. He says, don't forsake the assembling together. And then he makes mention, as the manner of some is. There are some who are not living on higher ground, even in Paul's days, that are becoming more neglectful of service, coming to the service and commitment. And and it's not for legitimate reasons. And so he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but he says, you and I should be, and not just the preacher, says that we should be exhorting one another unto love and good works. And then he says something that's very important. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So much the more, a higher ground, an elevated focus on attendance. And by the way, Hebrews 10:25 is God telling us not to forsake, which means if you're going to walk by faith, you have to walk in obedience. So he's letting you know, be faithful to coming to church in 2026. And if you were a little slack last year, ask God to forgive you and say, God, by your grace, elevate my spirit today to be faithfully attending. And he says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That word day is talking about the day of Christ's return. Folks, I don't know about you, but you can look around in our world today and see that the Lord's day is coming. You can see that things are elevating as far as Scripture getting ready for the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, the one world government, that we're going to be in utter chaos and all that stuff. We see all that happening already, and that's a sign to us to say, hey, the day is going to be approaching. And God's saying, okay, if you can see that, then be more faithful to church attendance. Be more faithful to gathering with God's people around God's word and encourage each other. So I could just say amen. We could close in prayer off of that. Amen. All right. So let's take a look at this verse here in 1 John 5 again. He says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him that is also, or that is begotten of him. But this we know, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It's not a burden. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We're talking about having an elevated faith. And yet, I want you to see what it says there, even our, or even your faith. Your faith is what gives you the victory. Your faith is what's going to be elevated, which will give you strength and honor in greater ways this year than it was last year. I told the people Wednesday night that 6 months from right now, 6 months from now, either we will have 6 months of excuses or 6 months of growth. 6 months of excuses or 6 months of growth. Which one would you like to know? You are looking back and say, wow, God has taken me from that to this. So let's look at a couple of things here as we get into this area, as we look at our theme here. Faith brings victory. We just saw that even your faith, it allows us to be overcomers of the world, its system, and its influence, and all of those things that try to entice us. And there are a couple of things, four things that we want to look at this morning concerning this area of faith. That faith brings victory. Number one, the prayer of faith brings victory. The prayer of faith brings victory. In order for us to have an elevated faith, I think it's calling upon us to have an elevated prayer life, a prayer of faith. Because when I'm praying, I'm asking God for things that I can't see in hopes that he's hearing my prayers and answering. So there's faith that is involved. Notice what it says, if you would, in Matthew chapter 21. In Matthew 21, in verse 22, it says, Jesus says, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, and here's the key word, believing, ye shall receive. Matthew 21, 22, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he says, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer. Whatsoever, and you can take that little word ye and put your name in there. So you could turn this thing and say, and all things whatsoever Kevin shall ask in prayer, believing, Kevin shall receive. Now, understand that it's not a blanket thing that we can ask anything. God, I want to win the lotto. I know that's consuming it upon your own lust. James talks about that. So you have to look at what Scripture says here and compare it with other verses of Scripture. The Bible says comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. And so we're not to pray for things, but we have to know the Word so that we know the will of God so that we can pray and have our prayers answered clearly because it's coming from that area. But nonetheless, he's letting us know the prayer of faith brings victory. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, and there's the key, believing. And that word believing simply means to think that it is true. You're asking God, believing that what you're asking him for is true and that he is true and faithful. A lot of times as believers, and we can maybe look back on last year, 2025, or even farther back, a lot of times as Christians, we lack the victory that we should be claiming in Christ. We're not as victorious. Thus, we don't have the joy. We don't have the peace. We don't have all of those things of the fruit of the Spirit that are enhanced by that. Because we fail to truly trust God. We have sometimes not even a prayer life. And except when it's time for an emergency. And then we're crying out to God. It'd be like you, if you have a spouse, never talking to your wife or your husband until you have an emergency need. No communication. And so let me encourage you to consider what he's saying here about this prayer of faith will enhance your Christian life, take you to higher ground, and it will elevate your faith because it is prayer, believing, you shall receive. A lot of times prayer, we can be guilty of it being our last resort. It's the last thing. Well, at least I can be praying for you. No, that's not the least thing. That's the most important thing. And so a lot of times the prayer of faith should always, I say a lot of times, every time, the prayer of faith that we're reading about should always come first. And you know, well, how do you know? Well, the Bible says, there Jesus says, if concerning the Father, that we are to seek him first and his righteousness. And all these things that you can be praying about shall be added unto you. And so we see the vital area of prayer. The prayer of faith should come first. Prayer, understand that prayer, here's simple mathematics. Prayer plus faith equals victory. And that's what we're talking about, to be a more victorious Christian. And I'll tell you what, a Christian who has no prayer life or does not pray according to his will and they consume it upon their lust and aren't hearing God answer prayers are a defeated Christian and begin to question why they even spend time in prayer at all. And so we see that God wants us to see the power of prayer. And I would challenge you, I don't know what your schedules are. I don't know what availability that you have, but if you want to be more learning about how to be effective in prayer, you ought to be here on our Wednesday night studies. And we're learning, and right now we're starting a brand new one this Wednesday on the practical prayer life. And you can learn so much that will enhance and that will encourage you, and probably even if you're desirous, it will excite you that I'm going to have a better handle on communicating with the one who loves me more than anybody else, my Lord and my Savior. And so God's word advises us, it's interesting, he advises us with this, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, he says, believe that you receive them. You're believing that I've already obtained it by simply asking, though I haven't received it yet. God has a different perspective than we do, does he not? Let me finish reading what that says here. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. So we're talking about this faith brings victory. We're talking about the practical or the practice of true believing prayer. How is your prayer life today? if you were to put it on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the lowest, little to no prayer, or 10 that you're walking in great victory in your prayer, by God's grace, by the way, through faith, how would you, think about this for a minute, how would you rate between 1 and 10 your prayer life? If you were honest with yourself, how often, how frequently are you intimate in talking with God, bringing your burdens, praying for others' situations, asking for needs to be met? If any of you lack wisdom, he says, let him ask of God. Communing, just like I'm communing with you and you commune with me, it's communing with God. How would you rate your level? The majority of people, not all, because some are going to be low, some will be high, but the majority of people will put it somewhere between a 4 or a 5. They will say that I'm an average in that area. The majority of people on a poll say that they're about a 4 or a 5, that we're average or just a little under. Understand that when you are an average person in prayer, that means that you're one of two things. You are either the best of the worst, or you're the worst of the best. That's what average is. And remember, in this lesson we're talking about here that overcometh the world, he's talking about that word elevated that we're talking about here for elevating your prayer. It means to be above the normal level. We don't want you to be an average prayer Christian, praying Christian. We want you to be above that. That's exalting. That's being elevated. And that is higher ground. That is what God desires for 2026. And so that's where we're at. It's interesting. When you read in the book of Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching on, it's the day of Pentecost. Peter's preaching, and 3,000 people. Now, there was a lot more people there on that day, but 3,000 people believe on Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's a lot of people in one service. 3,000 are saved, and then Acts chapter 2, it says, they that gladly received his word were baptized. So the 3,000 that were saved by faith, now by faith, publicly testify, I'm going to be baptized and show people that I'm not going to live for myself, I'm going to live for the one who died for me. Newness of life. So let me ask you, how many of you are born-again believers? Say amen. How many of you are born-again baptized believers? Say amen. Because that should follow very close on the scales. But then it doesn't stop there. It says, they that gladly received his word were baptized. And then he says, about the same day there was about 3,000, and they continued. These are new Christians born that day. They continued from that day on steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They were wanting to be discipled, and they wanted more and more and more of the word of God. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in fellowship, enjoying each other and talking with each other and encouraging each other and exhorting each other. And in breaking the bread, they wanted to remember and look back at what Christ did for them. So they had communion services. And then he says, and in prayer. You see, this is New Testament Christianity at its best. These new converts were sold out completely. And today we live in a lackadaisical Christian lifestyle. I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and that's all that matters, and I live the way I want. That is unbiblical Christianity. So let me just challenge you. We want you to be able to one day, by the way, all believers will stand before Jesus Christ one day at the judgment seat of Christ. Not to be judged for our sins. Our sins were already judged at Calvary. But we will be judged according to, from the day that I got saved, what I did in my growth and my intimacy with the Lord. So all I'm trying to do is encourage you and exhort you. I want to see you do good that day, amen? I want to know that you're standing there and you have done the right thing, made the right choice, and that you in 2026 elevated your faith, your trust, your confidence in the Lord, and it showed by you loving his commandments and keeping them. The second thing we see here when we talk about faith brings victory is the prayer of faith. The second thing I want you to see here, it's not just the prayer of faith, it's the promises of faith. The promises of faith that bring victory. In Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll turn over there, Hebrews 11, this is the chapter of what we call the hall of faith. We have the hall of fame. This is the hall of faith. And it goes over all these different Old Testament saints who, by faith, conquered, were victorious all through these areas that are recorded for us in the Scriptures. And in Hebrews 11, let's look at verse 33. And by the way, we talk about Moses here. We talk about the Israelites. We talk about, there's a whole list of people, Noah, Enoch, all of them. But verse 33 kind of just gives us a general thing. He says, who, now notice the next two words, through faith. What did these Old Testament saints do through faith? Who, through faith, look what it says, they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouth of lions. There's Daniel. They quenched the violence of fire. There's another one with the three Hebrews. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And it even goes on and on and on. And the key thing that it says here, it was through faith, and they were able to claim the promises of God. And a lot of times, again, we have a tendency that we lack the victory that should be ours to walk in because we have a tendency to neglect the Word of God and personally take it as a message and a love letter from God to us concerning the promises. This morning when I was reading, I've been keeping a journal this year on my phone, and I'm asking God to simply give me a verse each day. I'm not trying to memorize them. I just want them that he's showing me his word. The Bible says is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I want God's word to lead me this year every step of the way. You know what's even greater than that? God wants to lead me through this year every step of the way. And so when I begin my reading, I pray Psalm 119, where I should say, open thou mine eyes, as David said, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Show me something wonderful. And today, as he gave me a promise, and it's out of John 14:3. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you, Kevin, unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. And so he's given me, I'm just copying and pasting each verse each day that God gives me in this walk. And I kind of, for myself, it gets pretty exciting that God has given me a specific verse out of what I'm reading that will help me. And I don't try to memorize them, but I'm down to, what are we, day 11? So now I'm going back each day. So tomorrow I'll read those verses, every one. It's going to get more and more and more as we go through this year. And so I'm going to, by God's grace, try to read them and just review what he showed me on day 2 of this year, what he's showing me on day 15 in the next week that I don't even know what's happening then. He'll have a verse for me already. And so the promises of faith bring victory. Understand, God has given us his word. And he says this in Romans 15:4, listen, that we, you and I, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, your Bible, might have hope. And so I'm looking at these verses that he's given me each day, and I simply entitled it 2026 Light and Lamp Verses. Because his word is a lamp unto our feet, or lamp and light verses, a light unto our path. And so here he says, I give you my word to help comfort you through this, the days that you're going to live in 2026 and that you will have hope, incredible hope, hope. That means in order for us to have the promises of faith that bring victory, we have to spend time in the Word of God. Daily time in prayer. Daily time reading and studying to show yourself approved unto God. Folks, things will change when you quit just reading the Bible and start looking at it and taking things and making them yours. Literally, and this is just for me. I have to do this, and sometimes I get so excited that I want to look ahead at what I'm going to be reading and studying because I don't know if I can wait for the next days. So if I take my promise today and I'm just reading, you know, John 14:3, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive it on myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And sometimes that's just how we read Scripture. It's just very generic, non-meaningful. But if I say, Jesus, you said you're going to go and prepare a place for me. And when you're done, you're leaving that place that you made for me, and you're going to come to me and take me, say, Kevin, it's ready. And you're, as my Heavenly Father, going to take me to that place that you prepared for me or for you. It talks about those mansions that we will have. Man, that is going to be an exciting time. And this is where that phrase, comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. I have hope no matter what's happening in 2026. I have hope that He's coming for me when that thing is prepared. And I'm going to go be with Him. I will be where He is at. Spend time in the Word. To have victory, we must read the promises. We need to remember those promises. We need to, this is what I'm doing this year, I need to write down those promises and then refer to them more and more frequently. I'm not a person that likes writing. I'm not a journal. My mom loved to write diaries. My mom, when she passed away, I don't know how many boxes of diaries she had. It wasn't just little things she wrote every single day in a diary, and it could go all the way back. She died at 83. It could go all the way back when she was a teenager. Boxes of diaries. And I thought, you know, my older sister has, I should say, you know, why don't you give me years 19, 1975, 76, and 77. I want to read them and see what she recorded about me in those bad years, you know, and to see it from my mother's perspective, you know. But I haven't had the courage to do that yet. If I do simply what I'm doing, writing down a verse each day and put a little thought next to it, it might not be a lot, but when it comes to being here in the end of September and I go back and say, go back to the 3rd. What did God talk to you about on the 3rd? What promise did He give you back there? What did He speak to your heart there? And it's like you can go back and you can see a pictorial takes place. God is actually giving verses that seem to be, for me right now, steps that are one following. This one was needed to be first to have this one to be the second one and the 3rd and the 4th and the 5th. And it gets really exciting that you understand then that God definitely loves you and wants to become more and more intimate with you. Not just a figment of your imagination. Not just a thing that, yeah, I'm a Christian. But that you are enjoying the God who saved you and gave you His Word so that He can fellowship with you and become more and more intimate with you. Draw nigh to God and then He will draw nigh to you. And so we have the promises of prayer. Those bring victory. The 3rd thing we see here in this area of higher ground is what we're shooting for. We want everybody to have an elevated faith together. a higher ground level of Christianity in our lives. Somebody said a long time ago that as a believer, you're only as close to God as you want to be. He's always got more desire. But we want to see you go to higher ground and become above the normal of last year. The third one here we see is that the power of faith brings victory. The power of faith brings victory. We're pretty close to it. If you would turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, you got Hebrews, James, and then you get into Peter. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter is writing about the coming benefits, future inheritance, whatever you want to call it, of the children of God. And he says in verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively," or a living, a real hope, "by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now watch. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Now watch verse 5. "Who are kept by the power of God through," and there's that word again, "faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Your salvation in Jesus Christ was what God did for you when he sent his son. That God so loved the world, he so loved everybody in the world, is what he's not talking about the realm of the world, but the people. He so loved the world that he, God the Father, gave his only begotten son, Jesus, to come down here, live a sinless life, and pay our sin debt. Understand that Jesus, when he died on the cross, stood before God the Father in your stead and became sin for you, so that you and I can stand before the Father one day in his stead with his righteousness and holiness. And it's all because by faith you receive Christ as your Savior. You've been living by faith, as we sing in the song, "In Jesus Above," and that you are kept by faith. You cannot lose your salvation. Oh man, Baptists, there should have been at least one amen in all of that. You cannot lose your salvation. Let me ask you a question. What did you do to gain your salvation? Nothing. You simply believed in what God did for you. If you did nothing to gain it, you can do nothing to lose it. As a matter of fact, he says that you are kept by the power of God through faith. That word "kept" means you are guarded. It's the same, it's a Greek word in the New Testament, but it's the same exact Hebrew word in the Old Testament. Same, different word, same meaning. That when God drove Adam and Eve out of the garden because of their sin, because he didn't want them, now that they were sinners, he didn't want them to come back into the garden and say, "There's the tree of life, and take the fruit of it and eat it," because they would have to maintain that. We would have been really up a creek without a paddle, folks. They would have died literally in their sins and lived in sinfulness. And he says, and so as he drove them out, it says that he put an angel, cherubims, at the gate into the area with flaming swords to keep, to guard the way. Folks, that is God's grace and that is God's mercy. To keep Adam and Eve from coming back in and partaking of the tree of life now that they were sinful people. And God says, "In my love and in my grace and in my mercy, I'm keeping you as well. I'm protecting you. I'm guarding you. And what I did for you there is eternal. It's everlasting life. Everlasting life has no stoppages, all right? You can't bail out. So we are kept by the power of God through faith. Through faith. God's power. I want to encourage you this morning that God's power is still available. It's available to save your soul. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never been born again, if you've never had your sins washed in the blood, if you were not like the Philippian jailer who said, "What must I do to be saved?" And the disciples said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." If you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can believe today. There's still power in the blood. There's still power in the accomplished work of Calvary. There's still power in a sinner crying out, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner," and hearing him say, "You'll be with me in paradise." There's still power in salvation, not only to grant it, but to keep you saved. To keep you saved. The Bible says in Mark chapter 9 and verse 23, "All things are possible to him that believeth." All things are possible to him that believeth. We can accomplish very little in our own strength. And Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me or empowers me." So if you maintain that thought, that you take that verse of Scripture, that's another one of those, the power of a promise. You can take that verse and say that I can have that. If Paul can say that, I can say that too. Because Paul had to be saved the same way I was. And if Paul can say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," or who empowers me to live and accomplish great things for God's glory in this short life that I have. If he can do that for Paul, he can do that for me. Might not be the same things, but the prayer life that needs to be strengthened, you can do that. You can do all things. You can do have a powerful prayer life in 2026. Claiming and understanding and rejoicing in the promises, spending time studying God's word like you never have before, you can do that because I can do all things through Christ. Sometimes I wonder, you know, about my salvation. You know, you can have assurance of salvation because you can have the scriptures that will speak to you and say, I'm kept by God's power. There's that word again. We must depend upon God's power. There was a missionary years ago who was in a foreign field and brought several of his converts that he was discipling and training to be leaders in their church to the United States. And they were wowed with the United States. They were wowed with the plushness of the buildings and the structures, the polishness of the music ministry and all the different things they had, from the PowerPoints to the microphones to all those things that they hadn't seen in their ministries there. And when they finally left the United States and went back to their little homeland, that missionary asked them, "Have you guys talked about what you witnessed, what you saw there?" And they said, "Yes." They said, "We have come to an agreement. It was very, very, the Western church is very, very impressive." He goes, "But what impresses us more is how much they can accomplish without God." They sensed that there was all this stuff, but that there was no power. No true Holy Spirit power. If you were to go back in time and you get out of the time machine and you open the door and you step out and you're in Jerusalem and you look at all the activity and people everywhere, it seems like they're in a very festive, celebrating spirit. And then you see a group over here, and you walk over towards them, and you say, "What is going on? What's all the festivities about?" They said, "It's Pentecost, the first fruits." And we, as Jews, have just believed on our Messiah, Jesus. Peter, come over here and tell them what just happened. And we were there in time at Acts chapter 2, verse 41. And these people are giving their testimony. I got saved today by the grace of God through faith, through the power of God. I have been baptized. I publicly testify. And I want to continue on strong for my Lord and Savior. And then you say, I want all of you guys, all 3,000 of you, climb in my time machine and let's go for a ride. And we punch the date of 2026. Or 2026, yeah. And all of a sudden the door opens and 3,000 new Christians walk out with you and come to church and see Christianity today. Do you think that they would recognize it? Do you think that they would recognize Christian Christ in you? If they sat down with you as new converts and said, tell me your testimony, how did you get saved? Do you even have one to share? Don't let 2026 slip by as another year that's chalked up with nothing for God's glory done in your life. By the grace of God, say, God, forgive me. I have been so neglectful of my relationship with you. How many of you can honestly say in your heart, you're looking forward to meeting the Lord? Say amen. Then show it. Start getting with him. If you're not spending time with him now, why would you want to spend time with him in eternity? Higher ground, 2026, elevated faith. You now begin to shine like people have never seen you shine before. The prayer of faith, the promises of faith, and the power of faith are only possible by the final point here. The person of faith. When Paul was writing Hebrews, he says in Hebrews chapter 12, a very familiar verse that we all know, in verse number 2, he says that we should be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The person of faith is Jesus. We should be so thankful for those who help us. Maybe you have to go to a doctor and the doctor helps you. Maybe you're in a situation where you have to have some counsel, so you go to an attorney for certain types of counsel. They help you. Maybe you go to your family members or a pastor or whoever it may be, and they're available for you and they help you. And you should be thankful for those people that God may use to help you. But we must give Jesus priority. We must give him first place. Matthew 6:33, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, to you and me. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I'll take care of all your needs, physical, emotional, spiritual, you name it. I can do it. True help always comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ is the person of faith. Is he the center of your life? Last year or the year before, I don't recall. That's a sign of age. I always just tell Althea, I only remember the things that are important to me. I was at a wedding for a young couple. I didn't perform it. I was at a wedding for a young couple that we've known for years. Watched them grow up. And they came up to me off the cuff, unexpected, and they said, "Pastor, what advice, since we're newlyweds and you and Mrs. Heimer have been married a long time, what advice would you give to newlyweds who are just now starting out?" First thing that came to my mind was, wow, I don't even have time to think about this one. I'm put on the spot. It's amazing what goes through your mind, how fast it goes through your mind, you know. And I said, well, and the Lord gave me something that's very, very simple. I said, if you both will be faithful to the Lord, then you both will be faithful to each other. You can't be faithful to the Lord and unfaithful to your spouse. But if you're not faithful to the Lord, you will be unfaithful to your spouse. And that's all it was. I said, that's all I have to give you. It's very, very simple, but it's a simple thing to remember. We have to be faithful to our Lord. He is the person of faith. We must put our faith in Him. We must put our trust in Him. We will place our hope in Him because He is the one that brings victory through answered prayer, through claiming promises, through being kept by His power. He is the person of prayer. Do you know Him today personally? Do you really know Him? You realize there's a lot of people that Jesus is going to say, "I never knew you." These are people who said that they knew Him. And none of us, if you talk to anybody about that setting, he says, many will say unto me that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not?" And he's going to say, "I never knew any of you." And he's going to cast them into the lake of fire. Not a single Christian or professing Christian that I know of thinks it's them. It has to be somebody. He's not talking to nobodies. He's talking to real people. Do you really, really know Him personally? Do you walk with Him and talk with Him daily? What will 2026 bring that God wants to use in your life to elevate your faith, draw you closer to Him, and be walking on higher ground? This afternoon, I'm going to be bringing a message that I was supposed to bring last week on the Apostle Paul in Romans 1. Has three times that he uses the phrase, "I am, I am, I am." I want to challenge you to rededicate your life for 2026 and be here this afternoon. Find out what are those three I ams and see if you can declare them as Paul did. Our flesh will make excuses and reasons, and some of them may be valid. But if you are just going to go home and sit and when you could be gathering together and so much the more, I'm going to challenge you to step up your commitment to assembling together this year for your good and for the glory of God. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we come before Thee this morning and we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your love for us and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Lord, if there's anybody here that doesn't know for sure, they don't have 100% confidence that You are their Savior, that they have been born again, may they get with me later and just say, I need to talk with You. And we'll take time to open up Your word to show them how they can have that peace and that confidence that they have everlasting life. If there are those who are Yours, dear Father, according to Romans 12, may we rededicate our bodies as a living sacrifice, completely, wholly unto You, which is our reasonable service for what You've done for us. And may we rechange our priorities. May You be first in every single choice and decision that will help us to draw closer to You. Lord, I can't make anybody do anything, and You won't. You want people to choose You this day who they will serve because of a love for You. And we just pray that you would receive the glory and that we'll see your hand do great things in the lives of your people here at Regency in this new year. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.